Good morning. My name is Herman Pope. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have some special things to say to you today from God's Word about mothers. It's so important for us to recognize those who so impact our lives. I'd like to ask you before I begin these remarks, I'd like to ask you to keep me in your prayers for next Sunday. I really haven't decided exactly what I'm going to use. I only have a little over 1,000 outlines to pick from, or maybe figure something else out. But I would like to do what God would like for me to do. It is my joy and my pleasure to preach to those of you here that I love. And I just wish that every word that I would utter would be exactly what God wants me to say. This little thing, I do wish also to amplify the fact that the ladies had a wonderful Ladies' Day yesterday. I have it from an impeccable source that everything went great. And I know the food was good because she brought me a little dessert home. I ate about half of it, put it in the refrigerator, and then I went back to look for it again, and something had happened to it. So. After a lesson on magnets, a teacher gave the class a test. One question asked, what begins with M, has six letters, and picks things up? Over half the class wrote mothers. Not magnets, mothers. It was something over 60 years ago. After that, it really doesn't matter. But I got up to preach on Mother's Day in South Georgia, in Oclock, New Georgia. And I had gone into my lesson about 5 minutes when one of the women, I thought she was an elderly woman, she's at least 60, but that, you know, been a long time ago. And I could tell when she got up that she wasn't happy with me. And she demonstrated all the way through the back door that she was high up in the mint tree. She lived about 18 miles from there. So on Monday, Shirley and I went to see her. That wasn't the first time she'd been unhappy. But I said, why did you walk out on me yesterday? She said, the very idea of you not preaching a Mother's Day sermon. So visited and prayed. She was back the next Sunday, but that was one of the times. I don't know that there was ever another time that I didn't preach about mothers on Mother's Day. You can't really preach about Mother's Day without using the Word of God. Because God is the one who instituted motherhood. In Genesis chapter 3, and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land the Lord God is giving you. Notice how important God makes motherhood the idea of mothers. And surely today in our society, we have so much pressure placed on mothers. I watch as these young women in our world succeed in business. And it seems they're taking the world over. Well, it couldn't be any worse than what men have done. Someone asked me a long time ago, they said, "Can women preach?" And I said, "Sure, I've heard them." That'll soak in a minute. Now, it's what God wants us to do that is important, both men and women. But when it comes to mothers, God has stressed the importance of it. Remember that statement from Adam. Every person who lives, who has ever lived, or who will ever live upon this earth, had a mother. It's so important for us to recognize in God's scheme how important this is. The passage that was read to us by Noah. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Mothers are so important in our society. They're important for the procreation of our race. Without mothers, we all die, and there's no one to take their place. That's just how important mothers are. So today I salute mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. Pardon me as I salute Shirley, my wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. Mother to many, and mother in the church. I remember when we were trying to raise 6 children, 3 of them teenagers who were not born to us, but who were ours, and 3 little children. I distinctly recall I was getting about 4 hours sleep at night working with the church and taking care of my family. It was hard on her. I suggested she go to the doctor. She came home and she said, "Dr. Strickland said that I need to get 10 hours sleep a night and get some rest." I think I kind of blew up, you know. But he's the same one who told her, because she was having a hard time dealing with all of this, and he said, "You'll be one of the sweetest little old ladies who ever lived. Judge for yourself." Notice here in Exodus 20 and verse 12 that honoring your mother to the Israelites, God is saying, if you honor your mother, this is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That you may live long upon the earth and in the land that God has given you. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, another passage that to emphasize this, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is God's promise. It is God's promise if we honor our mothers. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, Timothy is told how to relate to women, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. One of the most awful things that a preacher can get into is to fail to understand that he can be trapped in trying to have a relationship with women. And for at least the last 30 or 40 years, I have never met and counseled with a woman without my wife present. Because although there are women who are so noble and so great, there are those, and the warning is there, treat older women as mothers. Well, that's kind of hard for me. There are not many women older than me, so. But I can treat the younger women as sisters, he says, with all purity, and honor widows who are widows indeed. I wanted to go back here for just a little bit to talk about this mother that God chose. I know the Bible is taken by many. There are people who say Mary was just a teenager when she married Joseph. I don't know how old she was. It's absolutely irrelevant. I do know that both my grandmothers were 14 years old when they got married, had a child by the time they were 15. But to say that Mary was just a teenager is something the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't matter how young she was or how old she was. God chose her because of who she was. And so that's very, very important. In I knew that John would get up here and mess up my notes. All right. I want to look at some things about Mary. But I want to tell you, to emphasize to you, that godly mothers never go away. Godly mothers are the most precious commodity on the face of this earth. Because godly mothers never go away. They never let you down. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, he just told her what's going to happen to her, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." Listen carefully. "Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now only those of you who are mothers can truly understand the awesomeness of this conversation with Mary. I will point out to you that the man was not involved. Joseph was wanting to do what was right and to protect Mary, even thought about putting her away quietly. God had to intervene. But Mary is told that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child which is born will be called the Son of God. God chose this woman to implant life miraculously through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was born into this world. The body that God gave him was formed in the womb of a woman. Galatians 4:4 puts it this way. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those who were under the law. This is God's doing. God came back. God came back and God brought Himself into our lives. So here are some things like Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they had come into the house, this is the wise men, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 20, the Lord speaking to Joseph, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." And then in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" I just want to make one comment here, and then I'm probably going to drive Tom crazy, because I've got a lot more sermon outline than time this morning. But I want to emphasize to you that the Bible teaches that Mary had more children than Jesus. The Bible states that. It takes all kinds of twisting to not admit that. Mary was not other than a great and wonderful person and a very good mother. And from that I'm going to spring into something that I don't have a lot on in the outline because I always run out of time. You thought it was just here, didn't you? But I taught a seminar at Ivydale Camp in Idaho, about 50 miles out of Boise. Shirley and I spent many years working with that camp. But they asked me to come and to teach a seminar on families at the camp. Now the idea was to have young couples and to talk to them about family. But there were older people who showed up, so we let everybody stay. But I challenged the group on the first day. I would like for you to go through the Bible and find for me the perfect mother and father. How many times can you find a family with a mother and father who were not dysfunctional? Okay, so each day I asked, nobody's found anything. So we got to the last day, and this is about what goes on with the answer to it, what goes on in the book of Luke in chapter 2 with Mary and Joseph and Jesus going to the Passover. And I said, well, what about Mary and Joseph? And a young lady who had two children of her own by then, had lived with us, considered us her parents, spoke up and said, well, anybody who would leave their child for 2 days and not know where they are is not a perfect parent. You realize that was Mary. no matter how perfect we are. And I hope you young people who are struggling with this may understand what I'm saying. There are no perfect parents. Unfortunately, there are no perfect kids. I could have handled that. But it's important for us to see here that even this great woman who hid the things that happened, knowing what God had said to her, this woman, this mother, thought Jesus, about 12 years old, 12-year-olds will do that. She thought, well, he's with somebody else. No doubt Jesus was a very gregarious person. But do you remember, and I'll just tell you the story because of time. Do you remember when Mary and Joseph found Jesus? You know where he was. He was in the temple, asking and answering questions. And Mary said, son, why did you do this? You remember Jesus' answer? Jesus said, do you not understand that I must be about my Father's business? But Mary and Joseph sought him, looked for him for 2 days before they found him. But as great as Mary and Joseph were, they were still people. They still made mistakes. And the greatest mother in the world, the mother of Jesus, was not totally perfect. But the things that she did, John chapter 2, where you have the wedding, we see Jesus for the first time there, and there's a wedding, and this is a point, my friends. They ran out of wine, so who did they go to? Not Jesus. They went to his mother. Surely his mother could get him to do what they needed. And her reply was, go talk to him. Mary did not try to control Jesus. It's hard for mothers to know where to stop. Do you not remember that I said to you, mothers, do not go away. Godly mothers do not go away. There are mothers in the church. Paul wrote, greet Rufus and his mother and mine. Do you get the consonation, the implication of that? I don't know what consonation means, but I know what implication means. Paul loved people and considered Rufus's mother his mother too. It's really important for mothers to be able to do the things that they need to do. Timothy's mother and grandmother were so important in raising him and saying the right things, doing the right things, helping people to understand. And in the church of our Lord, we need mothers. We need mothers who are kind and gentle and loving and know how to treat other people. I listened this morning, even in a little bit of a crisis that was going on, when Shirley was on the phone to our youngest granddaughter born to us, and a little boy that we just love to see and squeeze, hearing him saying, hi, grandmother, I love you. And you know, they're miles and miles separating us. Oh, if we just had a switch we could throw and keep him for 35 or 40 minutes and then send him back. Okay? Let his parents take care of him. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Pass it on, mothers. God bless you, and God give you the strength and the courage that you need every day to be godly mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. God loves you. I love you. And that's the way it's going to be. If you need today to adjust anything in your life, no matter what age you are, we don't want you to leave without us having an opportunity to help you. So please, if we can assist you in any way, as we stand and sing the song that John has selected, will you come?